Recording in progress.
Hello, everybody. We're at 9:30. Welcome to everybody, in particular National Treasury, who's here to take us through the two-part system pension laws amendment bill. We have the PowerPoint presentation, and we'll hand over to Treasury in a moment. But before we do, any apologies? Excuse me, Nkululeko.
Morning, Chairperson and members. No apologies, Chair. There is one from Mr. Mita. Sorry, apologies about that, Chair. There is one from Mr. Mita, Chair.
Okay, good. Let's get going. Who's on Treasury's side taking us through the bill?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members and all participants. My name is Nina Taylor, Chief Director of Financial Sector Development. I'll be taking you through the amendment.
Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Chair. So we'll be presenting the Pension Laws Amendment Bill to the Select Committee today. We'll start with a little bit of a background. So initially, this used to be called the Revenue Administration and Pension Laws Amendment Bill. It was later referred to as the Pension Funds Amendment Bill. So this bill was first published for public comments on 9 June last year. It was then referred to the Standing Committee on Finance for consideration with other tax laws. Treasury then briefed the Standing Committee on the bill. Standing Committee subsequently released the bill for comments and oral presentations with public hearings held on the 19th of September last year. The bill was then revised, incorporating public comments, which Treasury briefed SCOF on in October last year. Shortly thereafter, before the tabling of the bills with the medium-term budget speech, this part of the bill, the Pension Funds Amendment Bill, was then withdrawn to obtain Cabinet approval and certification by the state law advisors. We have since gone through this process. They have been finalized. Cabinet approval was sought and received, and the state law advisors did certify the bill. The bill was then introduced in the National Assembly in January this year. This bill has been adopted by the Standing Committee last week, Friday. We have now renamed the bill the Pension Laws Amendment Bill because it includes other pension fund laws which we are amending. So initially it was just the Pension Funds Act. We have now incorporated the Post and Telecommunications Related Matters Act, the Transnet Pension Fund Act, and the Government Employees Pension Law. So, Chair and members, if you allow me to just give a little bit of a background, because this bill is linked to the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill that you have just adopted that deals with the two-part system. The concerns that we are trying to address as Treasury is lack of preservation and lack of access in cases of emergency by households that are in financial distress. So in an attempt to address these two concerns, we are introducing the two-part system that will introduce preservation and allow access without members having to resign. So as we all know, the two-part system makes provision for seed capital. So it's that starting balance that will be transferred from what a member has accumulated from implementation date into the savings component. The limit there, or the cap of the seed capital, is the less of 10% up to 30,000. So this seed capital will not be repeated. It's a once-off transfer from what a member has accumulated and then transferred into the savings component to enable immediate access when the two-pot system comes into effect. The two-pot system also creates a savings component. This will house one-third of a member's retirement contribution. The savings component will be available for withdrawal before retirement. However, it will be once a year, once a tax assessment year, and a minimum of 2,000 rand can be withdrawn. So a member would not need to resign to access what has been accumulated in the savings component. Further, in the event that a member resigns from employment and what they have left in the savings component is less than 2,000 rand, they will be able to withdraw that balance. Withdrawals from the savings component will be taxable at a member's marginal tax rate. Another component that is being created by the two-pot system is the retirement component, which from implementation date will house two-thirds of a member's retirement fund contributions. The retirement component will not be accessible when a member changes jobs. Whatever is saved in that retirement component will have to be preserved and only accessed once a member gets to retirement. And when a member gets to retirement, the value in the retirement component will have to be paid as an annuity or a pension, subject to the de minimis threshold, which means that whatever is accumulated in a member's retirement components has to exceed 165,000 for it to be paid as an annuity. The last component that we are creating, this refers to the balance of what the member has prior to implementation date. So whatever a member has accumulated in the fund, when the two-pot system comes into effect, will be referred to as a vested component. So retirement fund members will be required to value a member's retirement interest immediately prior to the implementation date and house this in this component. The vested component will be subject to the current rules, meaning that if a member resigns, they're able to cash it out or transfer it to their respective funds or a preservation fund. And if they leave the country, they will also have access to this vested component, subject to the 3-year rule of emigrating fund members. We have members that are over the age of 55 years old that belong to provident funds. So these members have a vested component. This was created when the annuitization requirement came into effect on 1st of March 2021. So 55-year-olds from March 21, members of provident funds are not required to purchase an annuity or a pension when they get to retirement. So only these members will remain in the vested component. They only will have a choice to either be part of the two-pot system or not. If they choose to be part of the two-pot system, the vested component will remain with that vested right. It will no longer take contributions. They will then contribute into the savings and retirement component. So getting into the Pension Laws Amendment Bill, I've mentioned that the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill provides for the policy objectives of the two-pot system. We equally needed to amend the Pension Funds Act to give effect to the implementation of the two-pot system. So we have public sector funds, GEPF, Transnet funds, Telkom and Post Office Retirement Funds, which have their own laws. So So these laws are similar to the Pension Funds Act. So once the bills, ideally once the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill and the Pension Funds Act are passed, then funds would have to amend their rules to give effect to the two-pot system, including public sector funds. However, public sector funds also have laws. Some of the provisions are not in their rules, they are in the laws. Hence, we needed to also amend their laws. So we requested the Standing Committee on Finance to expand the scope of the Pension Funds Amendment to incorporate amendments to these various public sector laws, hence the expanded scope of the law that we are presenting to the Select Committee now. So I will start with the Pension Funds Act. Clause 1 of the Pension Funds Act proposes an insertion of new definitions to assist in the interpretation of the bill, and it includes the introduction of the definition of pension interest. Previously, the definition of pension interest used to be in the Divorce Act only. We are including that also in the Pension Funds Act to expand the scope, recognize marriages according to tenets of religion, to recognize that the allocation of divorce order settlement need to be proportionally across the three components that a member will have once the two-pot system comes into effect, and also allowing the clean break principle to be on the date of the court order. We are also amending the definition of pension fund organization to expand the scope of the beneficiary funds to allow them to administer and pay arrear and future maintenance orders. Clause 2 proposes an insertion in the Pension Funds Act of a trumping provision. This is an application clause, in which case, if there is a conflict between the Pension Funds Act and the Divorce Act, we are stating that the Pension Funds Act should come, should prevail, because what we now have in the Pension Funds Act is broader than what is in the Divorce Act. Okay, moving on to Clause 3. We are providing an amendment to Section 14(b) of the Pension Funds Act. We are proposing an amendment to the definition of OC by inserting a section that aligns 14(b) with the requirements contained in the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill. OC refers to any amount lawfully permitted to be credited, debited from a member's account. We are also amending Section 19(5) of the Pension Funds Act. This section deals with loans and guarantees provided by the fund to members for housing loan purposes or for purposes of acquiring an immovable property. The amendments here propose a cap of the loan or guarantee provided by the fund to a maximum of 65% of the member's benefit. This change is not two-pot related. It's merely an alignment of an amendment that she made in Regulation 28 to reduce the pension benefit exposure to loans and guarantees. So, Chair and members, the sections highlighted in purple are sections that we inserted after or during the consideration of the bill by the Standing Committee. The sections in the black font are what have been there when the bill was released or tabled. So we are now sort of presenting a bill that incorporates changes that have been adopted by the Standing Committee. So Clause 5, which is a new insertion, It proposes an amendment to Section 37 Cap A of the Pension Funds Act to provide for the application of provisions of the Tax Administration Act. Clause 6 proposes the substitution of Section 37 Cap D of the Pension Funds Act. So this section deals with deductions that are permitted in terms of the Pension Funds Act. And those deductions include amounts due by a member to his or her employer, any amount that is payable in terms of a maintenance order, any portion of a pension interest or a divorce-related court order settlement, and any other allowable deductions in terms of the Income Tax Act or the Tax Administration Act. So when it comes to deductions allowable in terms of the Pension Funds Act, we are proposing that a member be permitted to take a savings withdrawal only if that withdrawal will not result in there being insufficient funds remaining to settle any order that a member has. And also, if a fund is aware that there is an order against a member, they may not grant a loan or permit a withdrawal without the consent of the non-member spouse. So I've mentioned this, that after tabling the pension funds in the National Assembly earlier this year, we became aware that public sector funds will not only need to amend their rules, their laws will also need to be amended. So the Standing Committee approved that we expand the scope of this Act to include public sector laws. So now, moving on to the Post and Telecommunications Related Matters Act. So this Act applies to the Post Office Retirement Fund and the Telcom Retirement Fund. So Clause 7 of the bill proposes an insertion of new definitions in the Post and Telecoms Related Matters Act to assist in the interpretation of the bill. It includes also the definition of pension interest, which is important for the implementation of deductions. So as you will see, Chair and members, that the following sections are pretty much similar to the Pension Funds Act, the insertions or the amendments that we are making to these various public sector laws. They are quite similar to the amendments that we are making in the Pension Funds Act. We are also inserting in the Post and Telecoms Related Matters Act a trumping provision or an application clause that in the event that there is a conflict between this Act and the Divorce Act when it comes to divorce order settlement or the application of pension interest definition, this Act, the Post and Telecoms Related Matters Act, will prevail. Clause 9 proposes the substitution of Section 10 Cap B and 10 Cap F of the Act to enable retirement funds to effect withdrawals and deductions from a member's benefit. So again, any deductions, maintenance, divorce, and debts owed by the member to the employer are permitted in terms of this Act. Any other can't be, any other debt or any other issue can't be attached to the member's benefit. Further, if there is such an order against the member's benefit, a member may only be permitted to take a savings withdrawal if that withdrawal will not result in there being insufficient remaining funds to settle the order. Clause 10 provides for deductions related to payment of pension interest upon divorce or dissolution of marriage according to tenets of religion. So again, it is proposed that a fund should not grant a loan or permit a withdrawal without the consent of a non-member spouse if that withdrawal will result in there being insufficient funds to comply with this pending order. And again, the non-member spouse has to notify the fund that there are divorce proceedings that have been instituted. Moving on to another public sector law, which is the Transnet Pension Fund Act. This will apply to all Transnet funds. Transnet has three funds which are under this act. We are again proposing inserting new definitions similar to what we have in the Pension Funds Act, referenced from the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, and also inserting or introducing the definition of pension interest, which is also important in aligning how deductions when it comes to the Divorce Act will be done. We are again in the Transnet Pension Fund inserting a trumping provision or an application clause. If there is conflict between this act and the Divorce Act, the Transnet Pension Fund will take precedence. Clause 13 related to the Transnet Pension Fund Act proposes the substitution of the words Registrar of Pension Funds, replacing that with the words Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Clause 14 proposes the substitution of Section 7 of the Transnet Pension Fund Act to enable retirement funds to effect deductions from retirement funds in accordance with the provisions of the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill or the Income Tax Act. So here deductions will be when a member ceases employment with a participating employer, then a fund can make those deductions. Then further, a member will not be permitted to make a savings withdrawal if there is a loan or guarantee furnished or a judgment in favor of the employer yet to be executed, provided that that withdrawal will not result in insufficient funds to repay the loan or comply with the judgment. Clause 15, dealing with the Transnet Pension Fund Act, it deals with the payment of pension interest upon divorce or dissolution of marriage. It proposes that a fund may not grant the loan or permit a withdrawal without the consent of the non-member if the fund is notified by the non-member that divorce proceedings have been instituted and that withdrawal should not result in insufficient funds to comply with the pending order. Clause 16 proposes that a fund may recover certain debts owing to the employer from benefits payable to members on their dismissal or in any other circumstance. Clause 17 proposes that a fund may provide housing loan schemes involving financial support to members for purposes of acquiring, improving, or refinancing residential removable property. Clause 17 proposes that a fund may recover amounts due by a member of a fund. Clause 19 proposes an amendment to extend the application of the new sections proposed in the bill. And Clause 20 proposes an amendment to Section 14 Cap A to provide for the application of this Act in terms of the Income Tax Act and extends the application of new proposed sections. So all these sections, if there are amounts that need to be recovered from the member's benefit, the deduction has to be in terms of the Income Tax Act or the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, which is that deductions are proportionally across all the components that a member has. The last law that we are amending is the Government Employees Pension Law. So again, we are proposing inserting definitions aligned to the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill and also introducing a definition of pension interest. We are also proposing inserting an application clause or a trumping clause in the event of conflict between this law and the Divorce Act. Clause 23 substitute Section 21 of the GEP law to enable funds to effect deductions from retirement fund benefits in accordance with the requirements of the Income Tax Act. Again, deductions of any amount due by a member to the member's employer will be made on the date the member's employment is terminated. And again, a member may only be permitted to take a savings withdrawal benefit where there is a judgment in favor of the employer that is yet to be executed, provided that that withdrawal will not result in insufficient remaining funds to comply with the judgment. Then the last section in the GEP law that we are amending is clause 24 that deals with the payment of pension interest upon divorce or dissolution of marriage according to tenets of religion. Again, the payment of pension interest is across all three components that a member has post the three-part system implementation. And once a fund is notified of a pending divorce order, the fund should not, without the consent of the non-member spouse, and also if there's a maintenance order pending, allow a withdrawal if that withdrawal will result in insufficient funds remaining to comply with the order. And that's all from our side, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, questions, please, comments from members? I don't see any hands up. Oh, there absolutely no hands. Dennis?
Yeah, good morning, Chair, and thank you very much for the presentation. Yeah, I do have a couple of concerns, Chair. And I note your comment from the other day where you said that there's nothing that prevents us from having this presentation today, except for perhaps logic and common sense. Because, you know, presenting to us something that's presupposing some amendments that are still going to come out of the National Assembly Committee, means that, you know, we don't really know what this bill is going to look like in its final form when it gets to us, and now we're presupposing...
Can I correct that, Dennis? As far as I know, it's been voted on already in the committee. And what Ms. Taylor is presenting is the outcome of the NA's finalization, the committee. Am I not correct, Ms. Taylor? This is the bill as you got it. Sorry?
Yes, Chair, that is correct. The committee has adopted the bill.
Yeah, that's what I know.
Okay, so sure, fair enough. The committee has adopted it, but, not adopted yet by plenary. Okay.
Yeah, but, where the change is going to come in plenary, that's very rare. It happens in...
Yeah.
But, I mean, Dennis, what's the point you're making, please? What's the point? You think there's a big change now in the NA? When is it? This afternoon, I think. Has that ever happened? It's very rare.
Well, Chair, you know, we're going to get the A bill and then the B bill, but okay. So, look, fair enough. I mean, they're telling us what amendments are on the cards. It is premature. We'll maybe agree to disagree on that. Moving on to other issues, Chair, I do think that the, I remain concerned about the marginal tax rate issues. And I think Mr. Axelson's answer the other day was a good answer. But on reflection, you know, creating a law that is going to impact many, many people, purely for the sake of preventing one or two people from trying to abuse the system, is quite problematic for me. And I do think that this idea around marginal tax rates really needs to be monitored going forward. Because I do believe it goes against the spirit and the intentions of the bill. The comment around a trumping provision is quite interesting. And what is there to prevent a trumping provision from being trumped by a subsequent law? So, you know, I'm talking about maybe a tit for tat. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but perhaps, you know, the divorce laws get amended and bring in a trumping provision into theirs because they feel that their position is stronger than this. So just if you can explain to me around that, it will be interesting. Just a question. Is this going to be retrospective? So does the two-pot or three-pot system work for existing pension contributions that have been made? If we can just clarify if this is going to be retrospectively applied or if it's only for additional amounts that are paid into pension funds going forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'll come back once we have some clarity on your suggestion that one of these acts that's now been amended will tomorrow or the day after Trump just went. But let Treasury answer for itself. You know, Ms. Taylor, I know you're under a lot of pressure time-wise, and, you know, you don't have the full staff complement you need to take on the magnitude of the job you have. But it is a bit surprising, maybe I'm wrong about this, so you can comment, that you introduced this bill without taking into account that there are several other bills that have to be amended. Why was that the case? I mean, I see you amended lots of other bills, and that's correct. But why wasn't it there in the first place? Secondly, what has been the degree of consultation with the relevant pension funds and or the public sector departments which oversee these pension funds? Thirdly, now let me drop the third one because it falls away when you later said something else. So you said fourthly, well, there isn't a fourthly, but I forgot what the third point was. Thirdly, we read in the media a lot of fuss, right? It didn't come with the revenue laws amendment, but it seems to have come in the public hearings here. There were stakeholders, big stakeholders saying, the bill's being rushed, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's very difficult to do all this by the 1st of September, blah, blah, blah. The Divorce Act has to be amended and all that. Have you covered all of these people? Were they all at the public hearings? And are the issues or concerns covered either by you saying, yes, you're right, and the Standing Committee finally deciding that it's right, or either you or the Standing Committee saying, no, we don't agree with you. As long as you've heard them, that's what's more important. You don't have to agree with them. But often these are experts in those areas. Even you are far more accomplished technically than somebody like me is. Obviously, you're not a pension expert unless you were in the industry before. Anyway, welcome. It's nice to see a new face. But, you know, Tracy's, we originally had Momo here all the time and we were born with him. Imagine me saying that, Ms. Taylor. I've been here, I'm a dinosaur, and everybody else would say, who was talking? But then we had lovely Yanga, and then she got stolen by, I think, the ombudsperson. Then we had Mampu, now she's been stolen by the Reserve Bank. I hope you will stay with Treasury. Thank you for your input. And let's move on to other questions. So the members have any questions? Well, it's Simon, hello, you, my friend. What you're doing here is sort of being out there in the field. All you EFF people have forgotten your MPs. Never mind where you get the salary from. Never mind where you get your car from that you can pay against the majority party, but that's fine. Simon.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me acknowledge the presentation that has been done to us. I want to believe, Chairperson, this bill, it's a very good idea. But one is having a concern, you know, when because it was going to help us knowing where we are coming from, where we are at the present moment in terms of debt. But this issue of the money, withdrawing money that will be taxed, you know, it's going to affect the initial idea of helping, of assisting people in order to assist them to get cash. But nevertheless, it's a good idea, like I mentioned that. Just that this taxing of the withdrawal amount, it is really, really going to affect the initial purpose of assisting a black person in terms, in order to be able to resolve their financial problems. Thank you very much.
Simon, thanks for that. You reminded me what my point number three was, Mr. Taylor. It is that exactly what Simon and Dennis, Mr. Ryder and Mr. Mulatani are saying. You know what? Yes. I agree with you, Dennis. You know, when Chris deals with that very technical argument, when later looking at the first draft I got from Esther, I just felt, hey, you know what? What percentage of people, I think, Dennis, you're asking Treasury, you know, it's a fair question, Ms. Taylor. I mean, what percentage of people, I don't know, you people know more, right? And France, Thomas, they can also know more, will actually abuse the system. I don't know. And you know, I think Dennis is trying to say, I don't mean to be a spokesperson, but let me say, I'm trying to understand what, extrapolating from what Dennis is saying. You know, it's the balance you have to work out between saying, you know, you can't do anything but apply the marginal tax, which on 30,000, my friend, is what? I can't add it, but track, right? So it's, I think you only end up with 15,500, right? Franz Tomasek, no less, the expert with figures. He confirmed that's correct. So imagine now a worker in the metal industry, my friend, wanting 30,000 and ending up to their shock and horror with 15,500. That's a huge amount sliced off. So I don't know what we do, Dennis. I mean, there's nothing we can do right now. That requires further consideration. And Dennis, since you are coming back and whoever else is coming back, take this issue up. And what I will do is I'll march on the ANC. As an ANC member, I'll march on the ANC in Parliament, right, and campaign. And I'll mobilize my friend Matthew. Can you imagine that? I'm sorry. That's how I feel, by the way. And I've indicated to the leadership, yeah, you're going to see me around outside Parliament, not inside. They just laugh. They think it's a joke. Well, I'll be there. So, you know, I agree, Mr. Taylor, with Dennis. And I think most of us, I mean, particularly the trade unionists, this is Linda, the policy, but I'm sure the ANC comrades, Linda, Violet, all of us, we're not happy with this thing. So, Dennis, let me tell you now, word as a strong statement, right, revolutionary strong statement of how they, like, you know, undermining the proletariat of this country and so on, and we shall slap it into the report. Otherwise, come with some idea. We can do nothing, okay, right now. You're a technically competent person compared to me. Come with a proposal. But we can't do anything now. We can just put it strongly in the report. So there it is. Then let's start writing away. 10 pages will be enough. Thank you. Okay, over to you, National Treasury and your team.
Thank you, Chair. So we do note the concern again from Mr. Ryder on the marginal tax rate.
Not just him, madam. Not just him. All of us. Simon, the CFF, myself, not just me. The entire ANC, the entire COSATU, most of the country, including your own family relatives that might be affected. So let's get that clear. We're all against you, Treasury.
Including myself, yes. Me, myself, included. Honourable Mulatani as well, on the text, we do note those comments. Hopefully we'll engage further on this, even once the two-pot system is in place. On presenting a bill that has not yet been passed by the Assembly. The debate is this afternoon on this bill. I think the challenge for us was to present a bill that was tabled, given the time pressure that we are under. We were not sure if we were going to be able to come back and present a bill that is that consolidates the changes that were adopted by SCOF later. So hence the highlight in purple in the presentation that this purple font is what has been adopted by the standing committee. So on a trumping provision, Honourable Riders, so the Divorce Act is pre-two-pot system, so it does not acknowledge or does not take into account that a member's benefit will be separated into these pots, into the various pots that we are creating in terms of the two-pot system. So there will then be a challenge using the Divorce Act definition of pension interest to make that deduction or to allocate divorce order-related benefits to non-member spouses. And then further, we are expanding the scope of the definition contained in the Pension Funds Act and the other public sector laws to recognize marriages that are entered into as in terms of tenets of religion. So ideally, the Divorce Act would have been amended to account for the changes that we are making now, but it seemed unlikely that that was going to happen, hence the trumping of the application clause. And Honourable Ryder, on retrospectivity of the application of the two-pot system. So the two-pot system is a two-pot system, but there are actually three components. So what you are asking on is what we call the vested component. That is the benefit or the value in the retirement fund that a member has when the two-pot system comes into effect. That vested component or whatever member is accumulated when the two-pot system comes into effect will be treated in terms of the current laws, meaning that a member can access that when they resign or leave the country. Rules to that. So if you resign, you can cash out or you can transfer, subject to tax. And if you leave, also there's a three-year rule. So that is the vested component. What will apply, the revenue loss amendment bill will apply to the two pots, the savings component, which will be accessible without any resignation. The retirement component will be preserved until retirement. So, Chair, on your questions, we have consulted with the funds, GPF, Transnet Funds, Post Office and Telecom Funds. We consulted with them on these amendments that we are making. We also consulted with the respective departments that are responsible for the administration of these laws. So public enterprises and Department of Communications and Technology, Digital Technology. We did consult with them on these amendments that we are proposing to their laws. And the reason we are amending public sector laws is that these laws have clauses similar to the Pension Funds Act that deal with deductions, how deductions should be allowed from a member's benefit. So these funds will still need to amend their rules just like all other private sector funds. However, certain provisions are not in their rules, they are in their laws, in their acts that establish these funds. So hence the need to amend these laws to ensure that if there is any order against the member's benefit, the fund should be able to appropriately allocate that deduction across all components, and also to bring into these laws the definitions that we have in the Revenue Laws Amendment Bill that would cater for the appropriate implementation of the TPOT system. And your last question, Chair, on the rush. Yes, we are quite under pressure in getting the bills through for implementation of 1st of September. The initial proposal from our side was 1st March 2025. However, the Standing Committee did not agree with our proposal of a delayed implementation, since there was a sense that we have been delaying since COVID came and passed, and this was actually supposed to be a COVID-related measure. But given the impact, the after effects of COVID, there is still a need to allow members some access to their benefits. Yes, I agree also that industry has not been that pleased with the rush in implementation, given the changes that are required to be made to their systems, educating and communicating with their members before this two-part system comes into effect. We did consult with them on an earlier implementation date, so that one could call it a compromise of having 1st of September as an implementation date. However, the laws need to be passed and signed off as early as possible to allow that process of amending rules and changing systems. So it is doable. The proviso is that the laws need to be in place as soon as possible for the 1st of September implementation date to happen. Thank you.
Are there any follow-up questions? No? Okay, just a quick one from my side. Look, Dennis, this issue of you amend, of course, in consultation, after consultation with relevant departments, legislation from other departments, in this case pension funds and so on. And then they will come back that, you know, we don't agree with you and we are going to amend it, right? So when it comes to bills, obviously it goes to cabinet. Before it goes to cabinet, there's that unit that journalists attend, they should, I don't know what it's called now, which looks at these issues, inconsistencies between bills, and then one bill trumping another, and then that bill being trumped comes back and trumps the earlier one. That has never happened to my knowledge, yet. Never, Dennis. Particularly if it goes through, it's a failure of the cabinet secretary and cabinet and that committee. But if you consulted with them, they're not likely to do it. So, okay, I'll leave it there. Then I actually think there's no point belaboring this bill at the moment. It's being voted on in the House. We've got public hearings. We'll bring you the draft program in a moment. So shall we say, let's bring this to a closure and let Treasury part with us. Right, good. Thank you very much, Ms. Taylor and your team. And Azila, thanks very much. Bye then.
Thank you, Chair.
You can say if you want. Yeah, okay. I don't know what you'll get out of looking at our minutes, but hey, who knows. Okay, let's move to the minutes then. I am now asking for your indulgence for a small while I quickly, you know, you can put the minutes up in the meanwhile, but I prefer to look at my computer. Excuse me. Okay, so the first set of minutes, my friends, are or is Tuesday, 6th of February, right? So page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4,
further down, page 4. Okay, are there any issues? I take it there are none because you interrupt me. If there are, excuse me. And there are none. So can we have a mover and a seconder? Excuse me.
The toy is moved, Chair.
Thank you very much, sir.
Other seconds.
Thank you. Okay. Next one is, what is it? The 16th, the 12th of March. Where's February? What is it? Next 23 February. Here it is. Okay, this was on the hearings, right? On the public procurement bill. Right, so we're moving down onto the substance after the attendance, after page 2, 3, 4. We go down to page 4. That's done. A mover and a seconder, please. Mover, please. Okay.
Yeah, I'll move there, Ryder.
Thank you, Ryder.
I'll second Chair Ocomp.
Thank you. 27th of February, the minutes of the Special Select Committee on Finance on the PBO and FFC. We go up to page 2 with all those. Oh, look at the attendance. Wow. Wow, look at that attendance. Right. So then we go to the introduction, presentations, and so on. To page 4, 5, deliberations. 6, 7, page 8, here we are, mover and a seconder, please.
Toy moves, Chair.
Thank you. Seconder.
Ogum seconds.
Thank you. 27th of February, are we there now? Then we go to the next one. According to me, on 1st of March.
1st of March.
Yeah. And then 1st of March. 1st of March, we're looking at public hearings, response from the Treasury, right, on the revised fiscal framework and revenue proposals. Right, page 2, 3, 4, all right. Okay. Mover, please.
Who can move?
So I move, Chair.
Yeah. Where's the ANC? Oh.
No, you're alone today, Chair.
1st of March. No, they're there. Members.
This will be the pattern for the next 2 months, yeah.
No, not the comments, please. 2024 fiscal framework and revenue proposals. That's the 25th of March, right?
That's correct, Chair.
Right. Mover and seconder on this one.
Open moves.
Thank you.
2 seconds, Chair.
Thank you. 12th of March. Briefing by the NT on the reveal. Right, this is the 12th of March. Attendance, go down to the next page. Introduction, go down into page 2, then 3. Then the committee program, and we're at page 4. Mover, please, and seconder.
Yeah, I'll move, Chair.
Thank you. Seconder.
Welcome, seconds.
Thank you. Then we go to 15th of March. Public hearings on the Read RLAP. What a name, eh? RLAP. We go on to page 2, 3. That's it. Mover, please.
Welcome, please.
Thank you. Seconder.
Dennis, seconds.
Thank you. So that's the 15th of March. Then we go to 28th of March. Am I right? Nicole Lento?
No, it's
which was 15th of March, and then which one is there?
15th of March was the last set, Chairperson.
Yeah. So then it's the 28th of March is the next one I see, yeah?
I got Chairperson.
Public hearing, right? Don't you have the 28th of March? I have a set of minutes here that says Oh, it's 28th of February. It was wrongly.
Sorry, it's 28th of February. Sorry.
Yeah, it was a mistake on your side. Because we adopted the 28th of March.
Yes, we've adopted it, Chair.
Good. Okay, it came up as twice, right? So we're done with all. What's left in Kululeko?
I was thinking, Chairperson, we table the program to the next term so that members can have it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Can you put it on the screen, please? Firstly, while Nkululeko is doing that, I just consulted with him and with Frank Jenkins, and Frank drafted a letter as we suggested. It's gone out to the provinces to give them the new dates for the public procurement bill. So the dates are the 23rd of February, Tuesday, they'll give us the negotiating mandates, and the following week, Tuesday, the final mandates, and we will then vote on the bill. Now, some provinces have already submitted, I think three, and others were going to do it today. And so we told them, no, hold your horses, there's no hurry. Go through the public submissions properly. And I must be fair to Treasury. When in Kululeko and I met Willie and MP, we were stunned at the number of pages of work they have to go through. It's a lot of work. Obviously, they've got staff assisting them. So, you know, there's no need for hurry. And we said to provinces who sent us negotiating mandate, well, I haven't said it, but the one person that phoned me, he said, no, don't rush. Hear them. Call them in again and give us a proper report. So, as you will see, this is a very rough draft because there's so many imponderables, so many uncertainties. And this is always the case, by the way, in the last quarters of election year, before the election. So we have it here on the screen. And obviously when we come back, we're going to look at the pension fund bill. And depending on the number of submissions, it seems from what I can gather that nobody across the political parties objected to this bill. But I don't know whether the people who are unhappy with it who appeared before SCOF are going to want to come back. But the anticipation is we're not likely. So we can start processing. And then the next day, we can continue. And then we're getting a report back on the Wednesday. After consultation with them, Willie and MP said that they would prefer to go through NEDLAC rather than going through their office. So we left it to them to decide. But we've given them up till the Friday before that Wednesday, the 17th, to submit their report. And then we will start looking at the policy issues. So we take on the 23rd the negotiating mandates, and on the 24th we look at National Treasury's responses on the pension fund bill and so on and so on. So that's the draft, and then appropriations and finances put both programs together, and the two chairs will meet maybe in Kululeko. See if we can't meet tomorrow sometime for half an hour over the phone. The two chairs and the staff concerned, the three secretaries, and then we can send it out. So we will send you the letter from Frank. Why don't you just do that in Kululeko? Send it out to all of them. That's a letter we sent to the provinces, right? Okay, are there any comments on that program? It's turning out to be less onerous than I thought it would be. Okay, any comments? Nope. All right, good. Okay, so shall we draw to a close? Thank you very much. We shall meet. We are meeting this week, obviously, because Frank said there's no obligation to meet. So in view of the changed circumstances, I should expect that our Thursday meeting is off. Ultimately, as the chair, I take responsibility. I didn't know it was the eve of Good Friday when people were flying, as we're in Cape Town right now. So I apologize for that. Secondly, you know, I thought the plenary is continuing till Thursday, so I hadn't worked out when I looked at that program, in Kululeko. So thank you for that. Thank you. Apologies for that. And see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.